Is a presentation of Real Racing USA. Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
Yeah, and it is time to go drag racing. The 2008 season is underway, and there's nobody better to bring it to you. All the action right here on Straight Line with Stevie. Stevie LaTemp, are you ready to roll, man?
Hey, how you doing this evening, Jack? You betcha, I'm ready to roll.
All right.
It's a wild, wild weekend as the Screaming Eagle Performance Parts Bike Week Nationals presented by Gainesville Harley Davidson in Gainesville Dragway, Florida. Boy, I'll tell you what. It was hot down there. They were flat cooking. Not only where the temperature was, too, really, it was in the low 80s to high 70s the entire weekend. And somebody that was really hot, I've got him on the phone right now, never ever in the history of the Harleys has there ever been three races won by one man on a single weekend. And we almost saw it happen. As I've got Mike Roberts on the phone right now. Mike, how you doing, guy?
Good, sir. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. Well, Mike, you come all the way down from up in Clinton, Ohio, up in the snow, and was it kind of a culture shock to come down here to Gainesville and suddenly you find yourself in 70-degree weather?
Yeah, we left. We actually left a week early. We left on February 22nd, and we left in the snow. We come down there to test and tune down in Bradenton, and we got down there on Sunday to do some test and tune, and that was a total disaster.
Really? Tell me what happened.
Well, we got down there. We got down there late Saturday night, and we got up Sunday. Went down there to test and tune, and we got the bike out of the trailer, fired it up. We was going down the return road, just warming the bike up, and the rear rotor came apart, made a total mess of things, and we got that back together. Finally, got to make a pass. As soon as we made our first pass, it was a shakedown pass. We just put the bike back together. We come up, we made another pass, and blew a front head gasket. So. We got back to the trailer about 3 hours later. We get a front head gasket on it, make another pass. Well, that didn't do too good there. Rear head gasket blew. So we come back, put a rear head gasket on the bike, and the seat bracket broke. So our Sunday of test and tune didn't do too good at all.
But, you know, there's a positive note to that. Now, if you think about it, it really did do good, Mike, because had you not found all these problems on Sunday, it would have bit you when you went to run for the Bucks, when you came into Gainesville. So it's almost a blessing that it happened that way, although I'm sure you would like to have got some runs in.
Well, we went ahead. We were staying in campground the rest of the week, and we went back to the trailer. We tore the motor back apart, replaced head gaskets again. And then Thursday, a couple of guys rented the track, and we got in on Gainesville again and renting the track. And that went a little better for us on Thursday. Not Gainesville, but Bradenton. We came out of the trailer, we ran a 928. Did a couple adjustments, and then we ran a 905.
Now, which bike is this? Because you have three
SSC
bikes.
SSC bike. Right? Yeah, the SSC bike is the one I do all my test and tuning.
Okay.
That's that is Bandit Racing, and sponsored, my major sponsor on that's Joe's Hog Shop. We came out of the trailer, ran a 905 on that. Or 928, backed it up behind that with a 905. So we did a couple more adjustments, and then we blew a head gasket again. So we got three runs in that day. They're all pretty good runs, but ended up blowing another head gasket.
Did you ever find out why this thing was eating head gaskets up?
Well, we did, but that wasn't figured out till actually Saturday down in Gainesville. After we blew the head gaskets over in Bradenton, we drove down to Gainesville and got in the gates. That was late Thursday night, got set up, and I tore the motor apart Thursday night, put it back together Friday morning. We couldn't really figure out why at that point in time. We ran, came out of a trailer on Friday night during our first run, and ran a 917. That was our first round of qualifying,
yep.
And that was a record. But the thing is, their scales were off, and we come up a pound shy. They disqualified.
Pound shy?
Yes. We weighed in at 749, and our weight limit is 750. we had previously weighed the bike a half hour before and weighed 4 pounds over. So there's a big, big discrepancy on that. It happened that they had problems with the scales all weekend, and they did end up giving me that run, but not till Sunday. So Saturday came around. We did some Saturday came around. We pulled out of the trailer. We ran a 928, and we ended up pulling the motor back apart between second and third round, putting new head gaskets in it again, and we figured out what the problem was. We fixed the problem, and on Saturday, the last round of qualifying, we ran a 927.
So the 917 does stand then. I knew at the time I had talked about it, and I'd heard that, you know, you were off by a pound or two, and I thought, oh, my. But you did finally end up in the finals. Am I correct? It was 917, 143?
917 in the finals, and we weighed 4 pounds over, and the 920 on Friday actually backed that up. I did not claim the 917, though, because you can claim the 920 broke the record from last year, which I had, which is a 921. So we claim the lesser of them so we can keep breaking them all year long and accumulate more points.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Curiosity, how many points do you get for breaking a national record?
The national record, your quarter-mile ET, is 20 points.
20 points. Well, that could be the difference in a national championship.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's why we take the lesser and keep trying to keep break them all year long. And then we broke the, we ended up breaking the 8th mile an hour record too, which you don't have any points for that one.
Still a lot of prestige in it. A lot of prestige.
Yes.
But curiosity now, we talked a little bit about the SSC bike. Let's go up to the Screaming Eagle, the V-Rod bike. How did that bike perform for you during the weekend?
That performed good. That bike is actually owned by John Wise. His sponsor is Hoosier Harley Davidson. He asked me to ride that bike in the middle of season last year, and you know, I went aboard and rode it, and you know, I did a big learning experience on that bike. It's completely different than the SSC bike. I rode it last year. I think we came up number 8 in the nation on it, but I didn't start riding it until the middle of season. So over the winter, he asked me if I was interested in riding it this year, and I told him yeah. We started off on that, and Lou Grenzer is one of John Wise's riders. He rides the VR class, too. He qualified number 1. I end up qualifying number 2, and he's very glad to see that. And then in the finals, I end up taking out Jamie McNaughton, which is one of the big guys in that class.
Yeah, I'll tell you now, McNaughton is one tough customer, and apparently he could feel the pressure because he flashed on the devil's eye on Sunday as the red light came on. So you apparently had quite a bit of pressure on him. How were the numbers compared as far as with you competing, as far as how close were you as far as the race went?
Well, the finals, I actually ran a 981. I didn't have a very good pass. I came out of the hole. The bike stood up in the air. I shipped in the second gear, is up in the air again. I shipped in the third gear, is up in the air again. So my final pass was not very good. We qualified with a 49.47, which was the fastest I ever ran on that bike. But Jamie knew he had to come out of the hole, and he had to get the hole shot on me and cut a good light to beat me.
Well, that had to be a really good feeling to know that you took McNaughton and put him on the trailer, and you got your first win, Screaming Eagle V-Rod. And we rolled into your second win, which this is the one that probably I would have been the most concerned, and that was the SS. C bike, because this is the one you kept blowing the head gaskets on and having all the problems.
Right. That's the bike I actually own and race. That's the one we won a sponsorship on last year, or won the championship on last year. We set all the national records, all 4 national records on it last year.
Now, you had to take on Lou Grenzer in the finals. Tell us about that race.
Well, Lou Grenzer, he qualified number 2. Their bike is running very well. I ran Lou Grenzer many, many times last year. It usually came up to me and him in the finals. Lou Grenzer is a very, very good racer, very good rider. Respect him very much. He knows that my bike's fast, and he knows the same thing. He's got to come out of that hole, and he has to get the hole shot on me. But it didn't happen.
I'll tell you what, that is when you finally posted your 917, 143.58 mile per hour pass, which gave you that national record, which you opted to take the one that backed it up, which I understand. But so that had to be a heck of a pass. You know, these guys have got to – the pressure really has to be on whenever you know you're going to square off against somebody who's capable of blasting the record. Because, you know, Lou had to know. I mean, he saw this bike do a 917 and supposedly 1 pound, you know, of being off because of scale problems. So you really put a lot of pressure on these riders when you compete. Plus, you are an excellent rider to begin with. So you managed to get your second win. And I remember flying back down on a scooter trying to get back to your third bike. And this is when you took on John Perlinski, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that race now.
Okay, that is actually Hot Street class. That bike is owned. That bike is actually owned by Lenny. Lenny lives in New Jersey. He approached me all Saturday and asked me if I could ride that bike. Donnie Huffman tried riding it for him. Couldn't get his foot up to ship the bike properly, so he asked me if I could ride it. Well, we had actually won the championship in 2005 on our own Hot Street bike, so I took it upon and. Second round of qualifying was my first pass on the bike.
Wow.
Yeah, so we come out. It was a, you know, I've never rode a bike before. We come out, and we end up qualifying number four. That's a very tight class. The big thing is on that bike, we were 44 pounds overweight. You know, the bike was actually built for a much somebody that weighs a lot less than I do. We were very happy to go to the finals on it. And John Brudinski, he's one tough rider, too. You know, he's the next champion from the High Street class also.
Well, you know, Brudinski, now he gambled on that tree. Again, this is twice now. These guys are jumping on this tree hard to compete against you. And, again, he went red. Am I correct? Oh, no, that was, excuse me, he got a hole shot on you. And
yes, he got a hole shot on me.
He did get the hole shot, I'm sorry.
He cut a heck of a light on me and did the hole shot on me. He knows... That bike of Lenny's actually holds the national records in the Hot Street class. He knows that bike, what that bike is capable of, but he also knew that we were 44 pounds overweight. The times we were actually running, being 44 pounds overweight, was phenomenal.
Well, let me ask you, if you were going to ride that bike, 44 pounds, you know, on a car, that's a hard amount. That's a lot of weight to lose on a car, but on a bike, that's huge.
Right.
Because we're talking about a 600-pound bike, where do you get rid of 44 pounds from?
Well, the problem is on that bike, there was no room to get rid of 44 pounds. He built that bike like that for a lighter rider. He actually asked me if I wanted to ride the bike the rest of the year for him, and I told him I would, and he's actually going to put together a bigger motor for it.
So that is not maximum cc or cubic inch displacement on that bike right now?
No, sir. Hot Street is... you're allowed up to 96 inches, and it's 8 pounds per cubic inch. So the bigger the motor is, the more the bike has to weigh.
So the easier to get your body weight to fit that particular chassis.
Exactly.
Yeah. So can I expect to hear when we roll out to Arizona that you'll be putting them on the trailer one after another in Hot Street as well?
I don't think that I'll be running the Hot Street in Arizona. I don't think his bike will be ready for me. Our SSC bike will be at every race this year. We're definitely going after the championship, and you can count on me setting all the records again. The VR class, John Wise's bike I'm riding for him, I do believe he'll be at all the races too.
Well, it's going to be an interesting season. As of right now, you have the potential, and maybe it's jumping ahead of the game a little bit, but you do have a track record behind you. You could win two national championships because you have got the bikes, you have the skill, and you already have the most important part, you've won the first race. You've got it in the bag, and that naturally gives you a major points push, especially on the SSC bike, picking up that bonus points, 20 bonus points, and the win. So you really positioned yourself excellent, you know, down there in Florida for a run at that championship in two different classes.
Well, the SSC bike is the one we own, and that's the one I built myself and work on, and that's the one I spent all winter long and redoing and going over. So we are definitely going after a championship on that. And I'm going to give it my best shot on the VR to go for the championship, too.
Well, I think we're looking for a really exciting season with y'all Harley gang, because there was a lot of wild racing that went on down there this weekend. And, of course, Mike was a major part of it. We almost saw a triple header, and that is something that has never, ever been done. Boy, it was within a squeak of it actually happening. So, again, Mike, there's going to be some races where you'll have all three bikes together. Am I correct?
Yes, there'll be, especially on the East Coast. I'm not sure exactly which ones Lenny will be bringing his bike to, but I'll be riding his bike at the ones he does bring it to, and then the rest of them, you know, both the other bikes will be there.
Wow. Well, I'm really curious. But when you get a chance, when you come to Arizona, you need to come up to the tower, and we need to talk for a little bit. I want to see just where you're at and what you got going, and I'd appreciate it. And in the meantime, I hope you are able to get three bikes together for some serious runs, because it will be a lot of fun to watch you go down the track for sure. And hopefully you found your head gasket problem. Couldn't you tell us just what was causing those head gaskets to blow on your SSC bike?
Well, I don't want to get into technical on that. I will tell you this. The bike is on the lift now, and the heads are coming back off of it tomorrow just to check everything and make sure everything's okay. And it will be up to par when we roll into Arizona to try to set another record.
Well, let me ask you this while I do have you on there. I know you have some sponsors that you would like to talk about, and I'd like you to take just a second and this is your opportunity to let your sponsors know how much you appreciate them.
Okay. Joe's Hog Shop. This is the guy that's built me two national championship bikes. I started off in 2002 racing ET and SE on a Buell. He built the motor on that bike. We didn't stick with them classes too long. That's when they came out with Hot Street. And we built a Hot Street bike in 2004. 2005... Joe's Hog Shop had actually built the bike, built the motor, and we won a national championship in 2005 on the Hot Street bike. And then 2006, we ran the Hot Street bike again, and I rode the SSC bike, which Joey Stronati owned. Joey Stronati asked me to ride the bike, and I rode the bike, and we ended up placing second in the nation in 2006 on the SSC bike and the Hot Street bike. Well, in 2006, at the end of the season, I bought the SSC bike, and Joe's Hog Shop, he went through the whole thing, top to bottom. From front to back, whole motor, transmission, everything, we redid everything, and that's when we came out and start crushing the records in 2006 and won the championship. So that's the guy I really, really like to thank and is behind all my championships and stands behind me in everything I do and is there when the bike breaks and goes way out of his way, whatever it takes, he's there. Amongst the other sponsors, we have a bunch of sponsors really, really helped us out. Barnett Clutches, Mike Taylor over there, the last 3 years, he's really shipped us some stuff to help us out, some clutches, helped us out over the phone, done whatever it takes to, you know, we're having problems, he's there. Swiss Trax Flooring, they came aboard this year, gave us a floor, phenomenal flooring. They sell floors for inside of trailers, outside of trailers. Really nice units they sell. The guy that painted the bike, he's actually painted the bike for the last 2 years. He's in Ohio. His name is Dave Arney, and it's Dragonfly Customs Painting. And over at the Gainesville, we picked up a couple more sponsors. Outlaw Fuels came aboard. That's our spec fuel that we run. They came aboard, and they actually sponsored us for the rest of the year for the fuel. And we also picked up All Ball Starter. They came aboard over the weekend, that weekend too, and we picked them up.
So it was really a great weekend for you then.
Yes, it turned out very well. I couldn't ask for much more. You know, set two national records on our bike and riding two other guys' bikes, take runner-up and one, come down and won the finals on the other one, and picked up two more sponsors. A very good weekend.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I want to congratulate you. And for a guy that that normally takes a chainsaw and is cutting up trees up in the cold country way up there in Ohio, boy, you came down and you were chopping up Harleys big time in Florida. You did an awesome, awesome job this weekend, an absolute blast to watch. And, gang, I will tell you this. If you get a chance and you're out there and able to make the Arizona Bike Week Nationals, presented by Elhead Harley-Davidson and Chandler Harley-Davidson, you get a chance to see riders just like Mike, and Mike, for that matter. And it's going to be a great show. So, Mike, thank you for coming on tonight. I really appreciate you taking time off your schedule. And I wish you all the best, and I really look forward to seeing you out there in Arizona. Thanks again for coming on this evening.
Thank you, Steve. I look forward to seeing you in Arizona.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. This young man really, really had his act together. So close to getting a triple header. And
well, Stevie, you know, as you pointed out right in the beginning of that, there was a silver lining in that dark cloud over Bradenton at down at the DeSoto Dragway.
Oh, really? Absolutely. You know,
he goes in there, starts off horribly, you know, has a headache right off the bat, and ends up at the end of it walking away with brand new sponsors. How good is that?
Well, yeah. I mean, because I tell you what, we had the motor apart, I think, four times.
And one, you know, look at it this way one time. Mike goes in there. He has a test in tune. He's blowing head gas because everything that could possibly go wrong was going wrong until he rolled through the gates when it counted. When that first qualifying session, and everything just went just as smooth as a baby. So I was really excited for him. Again, it was a great race. And, I've got a bunch more that I'll bring on in the weeks to come. We're going to do some more on the guys who are down there at Gainesville.
And we're going to take a quick break. Stevie, we're going to go to a break right now. And I guess our next guest coming up for you is Mike Petrie. So,
Mike Petrie, and it's going to be the season opener for the Raiders division in the Summit Pro-Am opener at Rockingham.
This is Straight Lining with Stevie. We'll be right back.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to this edition of Straight Lining with Stevie, and I think Stevie's hooked up with Mike Petrie here.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you what, we're going to go from two wheels to four wheels, one of the baddest four wheels that ever rolled into Rockingham in the stock division. This gentleman, a former division number 9 champion, so he's playing in his backyard here, and he's always tough. when he's playing right there in the backyard, because I think it was 2006 was Division of
2005, nine, baby.
2005?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm off by just a year on that. I do remember there for a while you had that gold card, and that got you in a bunch of races, made it nice.
Yes,
and
sir.
It looks like you're hungry, and you want another gold card.
We're always hungry, Stevie.
So Mike Petrie on the line right now, this young man out of Union, South Carolina, you heard him say it. He's hungry. He's also the man that tore him up in Stock Eliminator. Mike, tell me about this weekend. I know that you were under the weather, feeling really bad, and kind of let's take it from there.
Okay, Stevie. Had an excellent ending to an awful start. Actually, I left for Rockingham on Friday morning, got within about 50 miles of Rockingham, and started feeling bad. Of course, you know, a drag racer's not going to turn around and go home, so I went on to the track. And got teched in, went through some test and tune, which proved to be a nightmare. Car was in the middle of a wheel stand, blew the tires off, killed the oil pan. Next test pass, the transmission malfunctioned, so I had to pull the pan and fix that. By Saturday afternoon, I felt so bad that I was ready to go home. Of course, my good friend Mark Lewis talked me out of that, thankfully, and I made my two qualifying runs, and the changes we made to the car really changed the car. I couldn't find a spot on the tree. My reaction times were horrible, so Mark and myself made some changes to the car, went out and made the practice run for the stock super stock combo that was going to be on Saturday night, and found my place on the tree again. And needless to say, we won the race on Sunday.
Well, just for the fans out there that are not familiar with you, Mike drives a 68 solid black Chevrolet Camaro, runs H crate motor. And this crate motor car, Mike, if you would explain to the people just what is a crate motor class.
Davey?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know if you're still there. Crate motor combination is a single class car, stock eliminator car, with an engine change. They allow us basically an aluminum intake, Holley full barrel carburetor. Of course, we're restricted to weight, tire size, just like stock eliminator cars are. And they've proven to be quite fast over the years. They just keep getting faster.
Well, now, this weekend you went the fastest, to my understanding, that you ever went in the eighth mile. Is that right?
That is correct, but we did have extremely good air. Extremely good air. Of course, basically, the combination that I've been running was about 8 years old, and everything was getting pretty tired. So Mark reworked, my engine, and, of course, we... Over the winter, we had Calvin Elston in Matthews, North Carolina, build us a set of headers, stainless steel headers with the Burns collectors on them. And the car just has tremendous bottom end now. Makes a lot of power down low.
What's different with these collectors?
Do what?
What is different with these collectors?
It's a 4-2-1 collector from Burns Stainless in California.
How close are you to the current national record now?
How close?
Yeah.
Well, below the national record.
It's below it.
Yeah.
Good weekend.
Yeah, very good weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I remember I saw 6.664, and I saw that 100.43 mile per hour, and you actually mentioned you actually gone even faster than that in qualifying.
That's correct.
So that is some incredible running. Well, you had your hands full. You had to take on Travis Womble in the finals.
Right.
Tell us what happened in that race.
Travis was 2006 Division 9 stock champion. So it was a match of the 2005 and 2006 Division 9 stock eliminator champions. And in the final, Travis very narrowly red-lighted on me.
So he gambled on the tree.
Yeah, he sure did.
Well, you know that's the chance you take. And I will say this, that one of the things that is extremely tough in the IHRA Pro-Am series. On the sportsman guys, they're probably the best in the world when it comes to that reaction time on the tree. And if you can't go like an 0-1 or an 0-2, because if I'm not mistaken, Mike, don't you always plan to run an 0-2 or quicker? Isn't that your goal on reaction time?
If you're not 0-2 or better, you don't stand a real good chance of winning, Stevie. Occasionally, you'll get by with a little less than that. But I actually, over the course of six rounds, my average reaction time was 0-28 over six rounds.
So 0.028.
Right.
That is absolutely excellent. And that, you know, they always say if you gamble too close, in order for a man to get you on the tree, he had to really flirt with the red light. And apparently Travis did, and it got him.
Well, we had I told Travis after the race that 2 years ago I red lighted on him in the final at Morrisville. So we're 1-1 now. The next one's the rubber match.
There you go. Well, listen, you got the stocker running like it hasn't run in ever. Now, I do know that in your garage back home, you have another Camaro that's being built right now for Super Stock. Tell us how you're standing on that Super Stocker. And how long before we can expect to see you come out with it to make a pass?
Well, Stevie, as you know, it's another 68 Camaro. It'll be run in the Super Stock Production B-Automatic class. Has a 427 big aluminum head big block, turbo 350 transmission, four-link rear suspension, 1432 slicks. Should run decent, I think.
What type of times do you anticipate in, let's say, quarter mile? What are you looking for?
Well, the index is 995, so you're going to have to go at least that fast to be able to run the index.
My experience in watching you run these cars, you usually drop way below the index. Can I safely say we should be able to see 960s, 950s come out of it?
I would like to think that it would run 950s or 960s, because if it, you'd have to be able to run that fast to be able to run the index in hot weather.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
But getting close to completing that car. It's taken all winter to kind of revamp this car. Everything on it, the stocker, everything on it was tired. So basically spent all winter working on it, bringing it back up to speed.
You know, one thing I would like to let the listeners know that when we talk about 950s in the quarter mile, the one thing Mike neglected to tell you, this thing's running a two-barrel carburetor. This is not some monstrous four-barrel carburetor. It's a two-barrel class. It must be a two-barrel on there. So to me, that's just so impressive to make a two-barrel motor run those kind of numbers. Wow.
Well, a lot of people are doing it, Stevie. You know, Mark Young's real good with the two-barrel combination.
And Mark is probably the best I've ever seen when it comes to two-barrel combination. So you're kind of jumping into it's a pretty tough competition. So it'll be really an interesting season. Well, let me ask you this now. Will we have that Super Stock Camaro make it out this season at all? Or
I feel like it will, Stevie. I would definitely like to run it at the doubles at Carolina and Darlington.
All right, so we're looking at coming down to division number two then.
Right.
That's interesting because, you know, we got Michael Beard coming on here in just a little bit.
Right.
And Mike's already off to a run and start in the
he is.
In both stock and Super Stock. Stock in division number two, Super Stock in division number nine. So I want to see just what he has to say about you coming into the Super Stock class, and is he going to run in it as well in division number two?
Yeah, Mike's on top of his game, Stevie. He really is.
He's a tough competitor. Well, you are too. In fact, you're one of the best. Mike, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. The clock's ticking because I know I do need to have a little time left for Michael Beard. But always a joy to have you on the show, and it looks like you are really off to a super great start. Division number nine is without a doubt the toughest of all the IHRA divisions to compete in, and you are doing an outstanding job of getting that first race under your belt. So it'll be fun to watch your Camaro. I will remind folks that if you ever had a chance to look back in the archives of the IHRA and you looked at some of the old drag reviews, that Mike was on the cover. This Camaro, was it last year, literally stood up and curled the license plate about 300 foot out. We talk about a wheel stand. After that, Mike said, you know, it's time for wheelie bars.
No doubt.
So, again, thanks, Mike, for coming on. I really enjoyed having you on. I look forward to seeing you. I'm going to be up at Farmington. I'll be up there talking in the tower and get a chance to see you up there.
We need to get you in a winner's circle picture.
Absolutely. I'm all for it, guys. I'm all for it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Petrie. Thanks for coming on, Mike.
Thanks, Stevie.
Stevie, there you have it, man. You know, that's another story, not unlike Mike Roberts. Things didn't necessarily – somewhere there's a lesson in there, you know. Sometimes it don't start out right, but somehow if you keep at it, it ends up all right.
Yeah, it's incredible how things do work out for these guys sometimes, but that's truly a mark of a champion. They do not know how to give up. It's just – giving up is not in their vocabulary.
It's not an option.
All right.
Run hard until they finally go out, if they do go out.
Now, Stevie, did you have some news items for you want to cover before we go to break, or do we need to go ahead?
No, we'll go ahead and go to break because we're running out of time here, unfortunately. I want to be sure that I get Michael Beard on. I have nothing really other than I do want to remind everybody that Arizona Bike Week will be coming up here in March 29th and 30th. If you are into the Harleys out west, oh, yeah, you don't want to miss it. Probably have 20 to 25 top fuelers and probably another dozen plus in the pro fuel class. And for the IHRA fans, I mentioned it just a second ago, that the Division Number 9 guys are going to roll into Farmington, North Carolina, Farmington Dragway, for the IHRA Pro-Am. And believe me, that will be some great, great, fast racing. A ton of record holders. And, I mean, the air usually at Farmington is excellent. And expect to see a lot of records fall.
And I have not been able, I've been looking, Stevie, but I have not been able to find any real news updates on the Canadian gas, leaded gas fiasco we were going into a few weeks ago. I haven't been able to find any updates on that. So if there's anybody out there that has any information about that, they can send it along to us at either get in touch with Stevie directly or send us an email to feedback@realracingusa.com.
Yeah, because I've been out on the road, and I haven't heard anything either. It's like we need to hear more about it. We need to know where it stands, and we need to be sure and get up there and put our support up there to stop this thing.
But I'll tell you what, if we don't I haven't been able to find anything online in the last 24, 48 hours. We'll get in touch with the folks up in Toronto this week, and next week we will definitely have an update on that.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back. Straight lining with Stevie here on Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips, like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
This is Straight Lining with Stevie's show here on Wednesday night, as always, 8 to 9. on Real Racing USA. Stevie, you got Michael Beard all ready to roll?
Oh, absolutely. Michael Beard, ladies and gentlemen, is a former world champion in the stock division, and he's over here playing in super stock right now, and there's a reason why he jumped around a little bit, but we're going to put him on the air, and he's going to tell us about what happened this weekend on a borrowed super stocker. Mike, how you doing this evening?
Hey, what's going on, Stevie?
Tell me about this Murata that you borrowed. You're one of the few guys I know that could go out and borrow a super stocker. I love it. Tell me what happened and how that came about.
Well, what led up to it, I had gotten a new motor built at Sloan Racing Engines for the Velari, a stock eliminator car, and got everything done and tested in time to go to the season opener in Immokalee, Florida. Had three races in one weekend, got lucky enough to win the first day, and on the second day, I don't know if you've ever heard this sentence put together before, but I hit the oil pan at the finish line. Don't ask.
And that's the one thing you never tell the IHRA tech official, am I right?
Well, they probably weren't as concerned about it because I didn't put any oil out on the racetrack. What had happened was, with the deep pan on the car, the small front tire that I run, the car is always set fairly low in the front. But in 2 years, even driving the stripe hard sometimes, it's never hit before. But the difference in the new motor, the car reacts quicker, the rollout was fairly tight at Immokalee, so I was running a lot lower air pressure. It must have been just that close the last 2 years and just never knew it. And just one quick stab of the brakes, it tagged the pan, and it crushed the oil pump pickup and starved the motor. Idiot driver made the next run, ran it out of oil pressure, and destroyed my new motor. And I called Tim Sloan and said, "Well, I've got some good news for you and some bad news for you. Good news is I got some work for you. Bad news, I got some work for you." Just called me tonight and said, got all the pieces parts in, and he's hoping to have the motor back together middle of next week. So the Velari might even be back out for Farmington next week.
Are you going to campaign both the stock and the super stocker then?
That's what we're thinking right now. I mean, with a win under our belt in stock and super stock, you can't not chase it. We got to at least play through the month and see how things go. But anyway, from winning the Division II championship last year, I have a gold card. So it's tough when you've got your car broken. And the Rockingham Pro-Am race this past weekend, I was thinking, I don't want to sit at home. There's no bracket racing going on. So I thought, it can't hurt to ask. And I posted a message on classracer.com saying, hey, if there's anybody that happens to have a super stock car out there that they'd like a shoe for this weekend, give me a holler. And the very next day, I got an email from Johnny Fisher. Now, Fisher's a CPA. So he's so busy being tax time. He said, I'm not going anywhere until after April 15th. He said, car's sitting in the garage. It's ready to go. You want to come get it. And just blew me away. Now, the car that Johnny Fisher was offering up is actually a stock eliminator car. It's a 1980 Dodge Murata. It's a natural J-stock automatic car, but it's one of the quickest cars in the country. Former Bob Rossi car. Fisher had bought the car from Brett Reithmiller a couple years back. Fisher had won class at Indy, U.S. Nationals, numerous times. And this is a bad, fast car as a stocker. It's so fast that it actually fits into a super stock L automatic, and I ran 3/10 under the index.
Wow. A stocker racing super stock 3/10 under the index. That's incredible.
It was really neat. And the car is extremely close to my Velari. It's the same year, same suspension setup. You know, the crate motor is a little different than a 360 small cam thermoquad combination. But really, it's not all that different. There probably couldn't be a car out there that could have been much closer to my own.
So you're very comfortable then, really, behind the wheel. Because I thought, gee, to be able to jump in a car you've never driven before and to drive it the way you did, I thought, holy smokes, I mean, I know you're good, but apparently it is close to the, the legendary duct tape machine that you would normally be at the races with.
I was definitely comfortable behind the wheel. It's a Murata. I mean, the rich Corinthian leather, you know.
Well, now, here's the deal. You won in stock down in Immokalee, Florida, which is division number two. Now you've won in super stock up here in division number nine. That's two different series as far as getting to the championship in two different classes.
Well, and not only that, but those were both out-of-division races for me, although the Immokalee races, IHRA denoted those as those races would count as in-division races no matter what division you were claiming. So the Immokalee races, I'm actually claiming Division 1 in stock eliminator, but the Immokalee races, again, those count as in-division. So I've got two in-division claims in stock. Now, I've had a super stock license for a number of years, all the way back from when I lived in Ohio, and I had a Division 3 number. Well, going into this, I didn't expect to drive the Murata for Johnny more than, you know, probably just this month. Probably the three Pro-Ams, you know, just something to fill in the time while I was getting my car back together. So I didn't change my number. So I'm running Division 3, living in North Carolina. So I've got an out-of-division win. Somehow, I've got to pick up four in-division races in Ohio, Michigan, or Canada.
Holy cow! And you're all the way down to North Carolina. You're going to put some miles on that baby.
Yep.
But you're also in such a situation that how can you not?
Exactly.
Because the potential's there already with that one win down in Immokalee, and you can use that win in any one of the divisions. And you had the number three on it, right? The your number was for division number three.
On division three for the Super Stocker, which I won in division nine, and division one for the Stocker, which I had won physically in division two. But again, that particular win will count as an in-division race. The Stocker,
it sounds confusing.
I'm not in a bad position with the Stocker because those are in-division races. IHRA's program this year for Pro-Ams, you claim your best five races out of eight Pro-Ams, but you have to claim four in-division races. That's going to be the tricky part. Not so bad with the Stocker, particularly since it's going to be together here soon, because once I go to the doubleheader at Maryland, then I'm done, and I don't have to go to any more in-division races.
Uh-huh.
For that car.
Well, let me ask you this. I want to get back to the race that we did run this weekend in your Murata in Superstock. Now, you took on Wayne Hayes out of Elgin, South Carolina, in a 56 Chevy two-door, 210 post car, Superstock automatic machine. What happened there? Did he break on that round?
Been having problems throughout the day. We both got extremely lucky to get where we were. There were 32 cars in Superstock, so it was only a five-round race. Four of my opponents red-lighted during the day.
Holy cow!
Yeah. And Hayes was having problems with his car. He had two or three out of the five runs where his car wouldn't go down the racetrack. And before the finals, we were pitted just across the road from each other. So I walked over and said, hey, what lane do you want? Hey, is everything okay? Because he was looking under the hood. And explained that he was having either a fuel or ignition problem, and he didn't know which. Now, looking back at the results after the fact, a couple of times that the car did go down the track, he had some very good runs. But there were other times that the car let him down, and he just didn't know what to expect for the finals. And
really, you didn't know either.
He came up red.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was a crazy finish. And you had four of the five were red lights.
Unbelievable. And I was driving, let's say, subpar.
I'll tell you what, you talk about the man up above was looking over you on Sunday. Holy smokes.
Oh, big,
that's incredible.
Not just the man above, but possibly Brett Reithmiller. Again, Brett was the former owner of the car. Brett and Penny Reithmiller passed away in a bad auto accident a year or so ago. So I definitely want to dedicate the win in their memory.
Absolutely.
It was the luckiest race I've ever had in my entire career.
don't think he was upstairs pulling any strings out there, do you?
Somebody had to be doing something, and I ended up on the worst spot that I could on the ladder. Everybody I raced was somebody that, if I had to pick and choose, then, yeah, I didn't want to have to race the guys that I did.
You know, that's incredible. They'll be talking about this one for a while. Well, let me ask you this. Are you going to make it to Farmington, North Carolina, for the Pro-Am Series up there? About 2 weeks?
We'll definitely be there with the Murata and in Superstock.
The duct tape machine should be back too, huh?
We'll see. It's going to be tight, but I'm going to do my best to, Tim Sloan, Sloan Racing Engines, is thinking that he could probably have the thing together on Wednesday, so we're thinking maybe Thursday, throw it together. And I don't live too awful far, a little bit over an hour and a half trip, so even though I've only got one truck and trailer, I could feasibly shuttle the cars over to the track and one at a time, and we'll get them there.
That sounds
maybe
like
one, two cars.
Be fun. Well, curiosity, I know you're going to come into Farmington, and you talked about how you're going to have to bounce around possibly as far as Canada. Now, of course, the first national event, they have a special deal going down in San Antonio, Texas. A free, absolutely free, Sportsman Nationals will be held the day before they run the regular national event. Are you going to pass that up, or are we going to see you in Texas as well?
Probably the only question is going to be, how can I get two cars there? When they announced the free race, it went from off the radar to, I think I have to go.
Yep.
Particularly because they're running class eliminations in both stock and super stock. And Mopar pays very good contingency money, as well as Mickey Thompson tires. So you're looking at $200 per class win. If I can get two cars out there, that's $400 if I can win class in both cars. So that pays for the vast majority of the fuel right there. And having a free race on top of it, and having a gold card for one of the cars, my expenses are going to be probably only around $400 for the entire trip.
So what you basically need, you can pull them on open. Can you pull them open trailer? You pulled the one open trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I may have a solution for your problem of all things. Believe it or not, contact Mike Petrie. Mike Petrie has a ramp truck with a hitch setup on it. I don't know if it's running or not, but I know he has one. That might be something to consider. Not that Mike Petrie would be real excited to see you come down to his two cars, cause but that's something you might consider. That would get you down there.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of time to do some planning, and I talked to somebody else about a two-car open trailer earlier today even, so we're doing some thinking right now. But worst come to worst, one car definitely, and I'll probably take the Murata, I think. If I can only get one car there, Superstock is likely to only be five rounds there. And winning class and having two shots at a national title in only five rounds.
I will tell you this. One of the things that a lot of the guys up here in Division II, Division IX are all looking at is basically the guys in the Carolinas run a lot of eighth-mile racing. Now, out in Texas, those boys, they run quarter-mile. But this is going to be an eighth-mile race.
And yet another reason why I'd want to take the Murata to that one. You know, the Superstock cars are extremely fast, and you give them a quarter mile, you know, it's not too bad when I'm going 720s and I'm running against mid-5-second cars. But if I'm going 1160s and they're running in the nines,
mm-hmm.
The mile-per-hour difference gets that much larger.
How do you deal with it? How does that affect your driving when you take on like an A or a B car that is super, super fast? Do you like to be the guy that leaves first?
I really prefer to chase. Now, things worked out very, very well this past weekend. Actually, the four slowest EP cars in Superstock were the four that were left. Between myself, Wayne Hayes, it was a Superstock O automatic car going 740s. I was running 720s. And in the semifinals, you had Mike Boyles, 8-time world champ, and the good old Charlie Brown. He was the quickest one left at 680s. And Courtney Young, in her very first Pro-Am ever, that's Mark Young's daughter,
right,
for the semifinals in a 690 car. So,
boy, he had to be wound up.
Boom, yeah. So the slow cars were blessed this weekend.
So you prefer to chase instead of let them chase you? Why is that?
If they want to chase me and go red like they did this weekend, that'd be great. But I don't think you can ever count on this kind of weekend happening again. When you're chasing, you've got the entire race out in front of you. It's just that much easier to drive the finish line. Until you're getting to the point where you're chasing somebody by a couple of seconds. You know, if you're chasing somebody and you've got 30 mile an hour on them,
yep.
Then it becomes hard for both of you. But if you're chasing by half a second, you've got 5, 6, 7, 8 mile an hour on them, and you can drive the finish line in very, very tight. You know, you're only looking at their front wheel as opposed to when you're being chased.
Yeah.
You're looking back over your shoulder and trying to keep one eye on the finish line at the same time.
You're able to try to drive the finish line and still make sure he doesn't sneak up on you with that front wheel.
Right. When I'm chasing, I barely even care where the finish line is. I want to put my wheel 2 inches in front of theirs and leave it. And there are times that I'm tapping the brakes and I look up and I'm already past the finish line. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're done.
On that very topic, I've talked to a lot of funny car drivers, and they say that, I said, how do you find the finish line? And they say, we don't even look at the finish line. We pick out a point at the end of the shutdown and drive to that point. And we realize after we've crossed it, you know, but basically we really don't race to the finish line as far as watching with our eyes, you know, I guess to some degree that's true, even the way that that you talked about doing it. It's really interesting. I've always been an individual that I loved to leave first, because my theory is he who leaves first and doesn't red light is winning until the other guy catches him. And I always used to run it out the back door and left nothing to bear. And if you were going to cut me, it was going to be by half a wheel. Unfortunately, that did happen a lot. But I never did like to chase. I never did like to chase. It's interesting to hear your theory on it and how it works for you. And you've been quite successful at it. Let's face it. You know, the Duck Dave Dart was a world champion car for you.
Well,
and Duck Dave Glory is very good to you as well.
Convince yourself that whatever situation you're in is going to be the best for you. If I'm in the slowest car, like I was in Super Stock, then I have to force myself to take your mindset of I'm winning until you prove me otherwise. If I'm in my car and I'm chasing somebody, then I have to tell myself, hey, I'm in control of this. You know,
I can get him when I have to.
Yeah. So basically you always go to the starting line thinking that you can win.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
there you have it.
He's going to be up here at Farmington, North Carolina in just 2 weekends, and you can see him down in Texas as well. Come April. And Mike, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And I'm excited for your win and the potential that you have this year with two rides. Oh, my. It's incredible.
Well, and it's a great opportunity to do something for Johnny Fisher and to drive two cars. It's just double the chance to get exposure for Duct Tape, K&M, Mickey Thompson, you know, Bradley Auto Parts, and Joe Gibbs Racing Oil, Beard and Oil. And these are the people that help put us on the track.
I have to ask one more thing before I let you go. How many places on your vehicle do you actually use duct tape?
At least two on any car.
At least two, huh? And like I remember one time I asked you, do you have any duct tape in your trailer? You asked me, what color would you like?
That's right.
I love it.
That's right. We fixed a couple things this weekend.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Beard. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Stevie. I appreciate it.
All right, Stevie. There's the 3 stars, man. You did it.
You know, amazing about this, when you think about it, the one young man almost had a triple header. All 3 of our people on tonight, first name is Mike. There's something to them 3s.
Now you're lucky. You're gonna hang around the house this weekend. It might be the last time for a while.
It's gonna be the last time for a while. And you know, it's kind of ironic. My wife has already showed me where the shovel's at.
Sure.
And
got them hedges to trim.
What I'm going to do on on getting things cleaned up, fixed up around here, but you know it's okay.
That's right. And, you know, maybe we'll see, but you might come on next week's Real Racing USA Live Tuesday night show, make a surprise visit as well. So.
And you're right. I had a real unique experience, and I almost, it's almost like sacrilege. I actually went to a race that we weren't drag racing. It was a road race course for motorcycles. I've never been to one before in my life. 46 years of drag racing, but I've never been to a road course with bikes. And I've got some unique people that I'll probably bring on. One young lady in particular, I'd like to have her on. And we might have Donnie Huffman sneak in there as well, as he took a drag bike to a road race course, took the wheelie bars off, and out of about 14 or 15 competitors in his class, placed fourth with a drag bike. I'll tell you that story a little later.
Yeah. Well, and as the year goes on, we're going to have it's almost time. We've been waiting until things begin to warm up a little bit in the northern United States, but very soon we're going to start having some drag boat racers on. So you never know what we might have on Real Racing USA.
Yeah, and don't forget, coming up later in the year as well, we're going to the Flying Mile up here at in North Carolina, where they run land speed records on concrete.
All right. Till next week, this is Straight Lining with Stevie. Thanks a lot, Stevie. A great show, man, and we look forward to next week.
Hey, drag racing, nothing like it in the world.
All right.
Me.
Running on whiskey, singing my songs, looking